Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is Week 10, Day 5. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about some closing thoughts on the Book of John. You can find show notes at 10weekbible.com/JohnWeek10. Well, we've reached the end of our study of the Book of John. We finished up yesterday with the last passage in the Book of John. And now that we're done, I want to invite you to be a part of the launch of the 10-week Bible study book on the Book of John. It should be available for purchase in a couple months from the end of this podcast, and I think it'll really bless your study of God's Word. If you'd like to be notified when it comes out, please go to my website, darrenhibbs.com, and sign up for the mailing list on the right side of the page. You'll get a free download of one of my previous e-books that I've written. And I also want to encourage you, if you've enjoyed this study right now while you're waiting for that to come out, there's also, I've published two previous books on the Book of Acts and Revelation that go through each book over a 10-week period, and they're great for personal or group study. I've also got associated podcasts with those. You can go and look for the archives on iTunes or whatever pod catcher you use, or you can go to 10weekbible.com. And those books are... there's some easy links to purchase those books from Amazon on 10weekbible.com. So before we get started today, let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to study your word. Lord, I pray that everyone that's been listening, everyone that's been faithful to listen, God, I ask that you would bless them from the hearing of your word and from going through and asking you questions. God, I ask that you would give us the grace to pause and meditate spontaneously, as we fill our mind with your word. Would you give us the grace to meditate on your word, to ask you questions, to engage with you in dialogue? Lord, we want to talk to you about your word. We don't want to just study your word. We want to study it with you. We want to know you more when we read your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I just wanted to give a few closing thoughts on our last day of this 10-week Bible study. And, you know, there's a few things, just a couple of main things, I think, going on in the Book of John that I believe he was very intentional about doing when he wrote this book. And the first and most prominent one, of course, is that he is trying to convince his readers that Jesus is both the Messiah and God at the same time. He is the Messiah and he's divine. The Old Testament understanding of the Messiah was that the Messiah was a man. The Messiah was to be a warrior king like David, who was going to rule on the throne of David in Jerusalem. When he ascended the throne, he was going to be on the throne forever. And that all of the nations of the earth would come to Israel and would be subjected under Israel's rule. Now, that is kind of the whole Old Testament counsel on who the Messiah is that he will rule and reign from his throne in Jerusalem forever, and that all of the nations, all of the rest of the earth, will be subjugated under him. Now, we know from Revelation that that is true of Jesus. When he comes back, he is going to set up an eternal city of Jerusalem on the earth. And he is going to rule and reign, not just himself, but God the Father will come down to earth and will live forever amongst his people on earth in the eternal city, Jerusalem. So we know that's true about Jesus from Revelation, but from the Old Testament. And there are passages in the Old Testament that allude to that. But the Old Testament understanding at the time of Jesus' life and the time of the writing of the Book of John, the understanding was that the Messiah was only a man, not God. He had to be a man. Because the understanding would have been that, you know, God would not come down and rule. God is in heaven. You know, Solomon said that, you know, heaven is his throne and earth is his footstool. So God would not come and reign. But the Bible actually never says that the Messiah has to be a man. That was just their understanding of the Messiah because of their, I guess, preconceived notions of understanding the scriptures about the Messiah. It never says that he couldn't be God. It never says that he absolutely is a man, other than the fact that he would be a man. But Jesus fulfilled that by becoming God in the flesh. And that's one of the most scandalous things to non-Christians, to Jews, to Muslims, to people of other faiths, is that God would put on human flesh. That is one of the most scandalous ideas. But that's exactly what he did to redeem us. And forever he will rule and reign, not as an angry killjoy, but as a loving, just ruler. For all eternity, we will have the only just judge who's ever worn human flesh will rule over us forever. All of his decisions will be true and right. That's who he is. So that's one of the, that's kind of the main focus of the book of John, is convince us that Jesus is both the Messiah and God at the same time. The second thing that I think is a bit more minor, but it's very prevalent in the book of John, is the paradoxes all throughout the book of John. And, you know, to be honest, I don't find a lot of writing about this, but the more I read the book of John, the more they really stick out. And I encourage you, read the book of John. If you're just kind of getting into this, I encourage you, go back and read the book of John once a week for 10 weeks or even more. And I think that these things will really stick out at you, because there are so many times where John, in the book of John, Jesus says one thing about himself, and then he says the opposite. And he keeps going back and forth. For instance, when he talks about judgment, he goes back and forth. Yes, I judge. No, I don't judge. Yes, I do judge. No, I don't judge. Only God judges. Only I judge. You know, back and forth with all these things. And, you know, they're seeming contradictions or paradoxes to what he's saying. Another one, for instance, is John tells us in the first chapter, is no one at any time has ever seen God. Yet later on, Jesus tells us, hey, if you've seen me, you've seen God. If you know me, you know God. And if you've seen me, you've seen God. If you know me, you've seen God. You know, these are amazing contradictory statements, but they're not actually contradictory. What is going on? What Jesus and John are doing here is they're calling attention to something that is very innate to the nature of man. Is that we want to create our own gods to serve. Throughout human history, man is a religious creation because that's how God created us. We want to worship something. We want to make sense of the world with something outside of ourselves. And every worldview does that in some form or fashion, whether it's religious or atheist. Darwinists and thing and people, atheists, they have to make sense of the world with a means outside of themselves. Natural selection and the Big Bang, all of those things are things outside of themselves. So they fit into this religious nature of man throughout all history. And one of the most common things that man has always done is make a god for himself, whether fashioned out of stone or clay or iron or steel, or fashioned in our own minds with theories and thoughts. Man makes idols. Man makes little gods. And these paradoxes, even if we take the Bible and we see it, I see it all the time in our culture today, in America, in the West, people have been taking this notion of God from the Bible or from other holy books or what have you, and they fashion a god of their own creation, something that they like. They want to create a god that appeals to them, someone that ticks all the boxes for their needs and wants and desires. And when they do that, they end up fashioning a god of their own making. And Christians are just as apt to do this because we're just as prone to our sinful nature as anyone else. And John wants to confront us on that. He gives us these paradoxes, these seeming contradictions that we have to wrestle with. We have to deal with them. When Jesus says, I don't judge and I do judge, the Father judges. No, I judge. When he says these things, they put us in tension. They put us in conflict. How do we figure that out? And the only way to do that, and the point of it, is not to get to know more about God, but to go to him. We have the promised Holy Spirit now, our teacher, our advocate, our guide. We have him to go to and say, what does this mean? And it goes back to the point of the parables that Jesus spoke in the other Gospels. The point of the parables was not for smart people to figure them out. It's just the opposite. Jesus said he spoke in parables so that the wise would be put to shame, so they wouldn't understand them. The point of the parables was so that people would be ever hearing and never understanding. No one understood what Jesus was saying in the parables, except that the disciples came to him and asked him what he meant. And they were the ones that Jesus, God made flesh, spoke clearly to. And it's the same way here. John is throwing things in our face that put us in tension. Not because he's making it very difficult for us to know more about God from his book. He wants us to know God himself. He doesn't want us to read his book and get to know more about God. This is not an informational exercise. It is an interactive exercise. If you read the book of John and all you get is more information about God, I challenge you that you haven't read it. You haven't really heard the words that John is speaking to you. John wants us to be interactive between you and God. He is throwing things at you that force you, if you've read them, to wrestle with them and say, this doesn't sit well. What are you saying, Jesus? How do I understand this? How do I conclude who you are from this? And that's the only way we do it, is we get to know him more. Just like John got to know Jesus personally. He doesn't want us to be like the Pharisees. And when I think about the book of John, I look at how many conflicts and just how brutally honest and blunt Jesus is with the Pharisees. John points that out. We don't want to be like them, where we study the word to get to know more about God. John wants us to get to know God. And so he puts things intentionally in his book that if we are just studying to know more about God, we can't reconcile it. I can't tell you the number of times I've heard people quote John and say, Jesus doesn't judge, God doesn't judge. And he does say that. But again, that's creating a Jesus of their own understanding, because he does say that he doesn't judge in the book of John, and he says that he does. So to pick and choose is creating a God of our own understanding. I challenge you, don't do that. Study the book of John, and when you come to those paradoxes, when you come to those things that John has intentionally put inside the book, go to God with them. Ask the Holy Spirit to teach you how to understand and interpret those things. I think this is a powerful book. So many people encourage new believers to read the book of John first, and I think it's powerful because it is, I believe, one of the main books in the Bible that was written intentionally, on purpose, with the intention of having us get to know God, not know more about him. And I encourage you, make that the heart of every Bible study you do, not to know more about God, but to know him more. You do that, and you'll be blessed. Well, that's it for the study of John. I've been your host, Darren Hibbs. Thanks for joining me on the 10-Week Bible Podcast.